The Badlands. Run into the Badlands. Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Everywhere you go, your manners are with you, and they leave their mark. They help you feel sure of yourself, too, and they make an impression on people.
Demonstrators wreaked havoc in Washington, D.C. and destroyed storefront windows.
It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation.
Make political commitments to curb population growth.
We didn't simulate this. We didn't practice.
What the hell did they let the reporters in there for?
MK Ultra.
8 million adults are affected by it.
Don't try it.
There will be no outcome that leaves Saddam Hussein in power.
A brand new group called ISIL.
We're speeding up training of ISIL forces.
The one person who wasn't random was the security guard.
America was founded as a constitutional republic.
Take the incumbents out. Take citizens to Washington.
I will totally obliterate the deep state. We will obliterate the deep state.
I just want to rock out so bad every time I watch that intro, dude.
I love it. It gives me so pumped.
Dude, can I? Let me just say, this is the first time I've ever consciously recognized that Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi was in the introduction. Like, it's always just kind of washed over me. But, like, today I was staring straight at it. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so sweet.
Listen, he doesn't want people to try MK Ultra, right? Don't try it.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. Oh, Brad, how are you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing A-OK. Man, I am so psyched about what you sent me from James O'Keefe. I can't even tell you.
Absolutely. I'm glad you're not AOC.
That would suck. I need a laugh track.
Hold on, I think I actually have one. I don't know where it is. Yeah, I don't know where it is. But I got a laugh in here somewhere.
I love it.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you very much for hanging out with us tonight. As always, my name is Zach Payne, also known as Red Pill 78, also known as the Corruption Detector. I'm here with my good friend, Mr. Brad Getz.
A.K.A. Clodro Getz, a.k.a. Brad Zerbo.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, dude, from all the times of, like, being nervous and then using, like, my confirmation name and all this stuff, it's so nice to just be me. It's so nice to just, like, say, hi, I'm Brad Zerbo.
Yeah.
Even, like, the first Gart with the hotel rooms, you're like, Brad Getz, but I'm really Brad Zerbo. You know, and you have to show him, like, an ID and stuff like that.
No, I definitely went through the same thing.
That's just annoying.
Yeah, somebody was just saying in the chat the other day, I remember the very first time somebody, like, doxed my name on the air. It was this sweet old man. I can't remember his name. He wrote a book called Your Mother's Not a Virgin. It's great. It's so great.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, John something or other. You guys will remember if you were there, but... I told him, like, before we went on, I was like, listen, I just, you know, call me RP or call me Red Pill. And first thing he starts talking to me, he's like, now listen here, Zachary. And I was like, oh, it was so great. Funny. Yes. And he just kept saying it. And I was like, you know, John, you know. And everybody was like, oh, his name must be Zach.
I love it, dude.
John Barber. Lisa knows John Barber. Yeah. He's great.
You can always depend on Lisa with the information. I love it.
Yeah, this is why we work so well together, because she remembers all the stuff that I don't.
It's true, though. Every good man's backed up by an even better woman. It's true.
Yes, yes, yes.
Clodro Getz comes from, well, it doesn't originally, but it comes from the first interview I ever did, which was on your show. Yep. And it was a sock Facebook account I had made in 2015, because I was just so sick of all the suck ass liberal garbage on there. It's like, man, I just want to go on Facebook in peace. You know what I mean? And now, like, I have to see people who I used to like say things that really disappoint me.
Oh yeah.
And I just never said my name. I just made videos. I just talked or whatever. And then you asked me, you're like, well, what do I call you? And I remember I thought on it for like half a day. I was like, oh shit. do I give him my real name? Do I say? And that's why I was just like, Clodro. And then that was it from like then on. And
yeah. A star was born.
The old Clodro gets.
Oh, that's so
gotta
funny.
Gotta love it.
Good stuff. Well, Brad, you know, I mean, I was thinking about the title of the show, Altered State. And yes. I don't think that we realized just how appropriate that name would be, especially in 2024. Like, you know, I think definitely, you know, obviously we had a concept. We knew a direction that we wanted to go. I mean, it's like we're living in the altered states of America. But every single day, it's like we're entering into a new altered state of consciousness. You know, like the things that are coming on the news, it's just so hard and fast. And I am surprised every single morning that I wake up. And I'm sure you know, I mean, there is like mass chaos going on at campuses all around the country. I mean, at like 20 yep. plus campuses. And, you know, I mean, it's like this culmination of this strange phenomenon that we've watched play out since October 7th. Whereas previously Israel, it was like the sacred cow. Like you couldn't say a single negative thing about Israel. And like, you know, the Palestinian protesters and stuff. I mean, like they would whisper it in hushed tones, but then they were like the first ones to call you an anti-Semite if like, you know, you didn't want to call them a girl and they clearly are a boy. And, right. You know, it's like, you know, stop being racist, you bigot. I'm a woman. And, Yeah. And so now it's like this mask has come off and everybody is like just they're acting crazy. They're absolutely crazy. I am all for freedom of speech. I'm all for peaceful protest, really peaceful protest.
Yeah.
But it's almost, I mean, it's exactly like the Summer of Love. I mean, I've been saying the Summer of Love 2.0. And I mean, I feel like that just perfectly encapsulates it because like, it didn't even have time to become a peaceful protest. It was like as soon as people's shoes hit the street, like it was insanity. You know, I mean, there was stuff getting broken. There were, you know, just all kinds of craziness going on. And the difference this time around is that some of the cops are absorbing the blows, but plenty of other ones are saying, you know, no, absolutely not. We're not going to take it this time.
Yeah, I don't blame them one bit. I think they were clashing up in Columbia University.
Yep. A lot. Fordham too.
Fordham. Yep. Yes, those are actually pretty close to each other. Actually, Columbia's in the northern end of Manhattan, and Fordham's in the Bronx.
I think like Fordham was the backup. Like once they kicked them out of Columbia, they headed on over to Fordham. And it's also, I mean, UCLA has been pretty crazy in UCLA. Actually, let me show you this. This is the other part of this that's hilarious to me is the demands that these people are making. Like, first of all, I think it's pretty funny that they would think that they might have some sort of an impact on this, you know, centuries old conflict. By going to their Ivy League university, setting up a pup tent and demanding that their university, I guess, demand that there is a ceasefire. Like, you know, that's not going to do anything at all. But, you know, what's also new in the last 24 hours is that you can see here on screen, you've got counter protesters. So these are Israeli students and anti-Israeli students. So they're coming at each other, and the Israeli students, or at least the pro-Israel students, are like tearing down the Gaza encampment. Did you see that girl with the laser beam on her face?
Oh my god.
And she's taking a TikTok of herself standing in front of the chaos, and it's just absolute insanity. Like they are going at each other, like tearing out each other's throats. It's insanity. Total insanity. And this was, you know, I mean, eventually they broke this up, but not before people got messed up. Look at that guy. I mean, I don't know who's on what side, you know, I mean, you're looking at these kids. Knows? Yeah. It's not obvious like who is who or like what they're there for or like, you know, what their ideology is. But I mean, this is a tremendous amount of forethought to bring in probably $5,000 worth of backer board. know, who drove that in? I mean, that's what I want to know. Like, who
the same people
who
dropped off the bricks during the Summer of Love.
That's it. That's it. Exactly. That's it. Exactly. So take a look at this. These are the demands. This is the pro-Palestinian group. So urgent, Brad, urgent. They need headlamps. They need airsoft goggles. They need gas masks and respirators, especially for the medics. They also need skater helmets. They need shields. They need wood for the barrier. They need knee and elbow pads. They need rain ponchos. They need canopies. They need utility gloves without reinforced knuckles. I don't know why that's so important, but they do need various sizes, and they especially need sizes for small hands because we're dealing with a bunch of low-T losers.
Well, it sounds like they need a job.
Yes.
What they really need.
They definitely need a job. And then look at this. They also need EpiPens. I guess they got people who have been eating peanuts while they're in there. That's not good. They need non-steroidal inhalers because clearly a bunch of these weaklings didn't go outside much when they were kids, so they've got asthma. They need headlamps. I don't know how headlamps is medical. But then also organizational bins, probably so that they can, like, you know, get the revolution started right.
And every revolution needs organizational bins.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to go into this revolution just totally disorganized.
You know the famous painting of George Washington in front of his organizational bins, right? right before the Battle of Monmouth? No.
They need food. They also need food. This is funny because remember, you know, these are students or and also like paid agitators, but they're on an Ivy League campus, so they've got access to the meal hall. I don't know how late it's open. But, you know, obviously they could go there anytime they want, but they want the university to bring them hot food for lunch. This is super important. And more importantly, Brad, they got to have, it's got to be vegan. It's got to be gluten free. They also need ice. I guess they want to package some of it, but they don't want any prepackaged food. They don't want any coffee. They don't want any bananas and they don't want any nuts. And when I see these things, you know, having been to college myself, these are items that you're typically going to find in the caf, in the meal hall. Like, you go into the meal hall, and whether or not they're serving lunch or breakfast or whatever, you're always going to find those things very easily. So basically,
they're above the meal hall now.
Yes,
okay?
They're above the meal hall because this is now a revolution. So they're saying, you know, we don't want you to bring us the crap that you feed us all the other times when, you know, after our parents have already paid for it. So this is just hilarious to me. Now, the number one thing that occurs to me here is that even though they're starting a revolution, most of these people seem to be completely unprepared for that revolution. You know, I mean, like they've shown up to protest and they don't have any of their typical supplies. They just showed up and, you know, probably the people with these supplies are the ones that are standing on the edge, holding onto the backer boards. And those are likely the people who are the paid agent provocateurs. Those are the ones who are the professional protesters. And then on the interior, that's where the kids who are actually students at these organizations, at these universities, they're like caught in the middle and they're like, you know, don't you go anywhere. This is the revolution. This is what you signed up for. You better stick around. Don't worry, kids. We're going to get you some knee pads and some skater helmets and everything's going to be fine.
You know what this is? This is little rich kid, college kids who have never left the comfort of a classroom since kindergarten. Mm-mm. Trying to tell the world, throwing a tantrum over something they've been made to believe that they don't like, and they have a history. Like, pretty much they have a whole lifetime probably of being coddled, and anytime they don't like something, they go, I don't like that. And the mom and daddy go, oh, okay, here, oh, we'll fix it. So they're doing a very public, wah, I don't like that. And this is their list of demands. I can't imagine anyone would fill these lists out. Is anyone taking them up on this offer, Zach?
Well, funny you should ask, because at Northwestern University, this is a university in the suburbs of Chicago, I guess Evanston, Illinois, the students had said they had set up the same type of Gaza solidarity encampment there, all the same tents. You know, everybody went to Moose Jaw at the same time on the same day. They got a good deal because they bought 10,000 of them in the exact same color. And their demands included special long-term provisions for the Palestinian students. I believe the ones that go there now and the ones who they plan to send there in the future. the university has pledged full ride scholarships to all Palestinian students. So, you know, the kids who are going to school there right now are not going to have to pay anything. And I think the ones coming in the future won't either. And even crazier than that, they have promised jobs to Palestinian educators. All right. So, like, if you are you're a teacher and you want to get a job at Northwestern, you have a guaranteed job there. And I frankly, I don't know how they're going to fulfill all of those positions. I mean, you know, a university only has so much space for tenured professors. And at a certain point, you're just got too many of them. And basically, you know, you're going to be paying them to grade papers instead of, you know, getting unpaid interns to get it. But I mean, you know, the great irony here is that if they do give free education to all of these Palestinian kids and then also guarantee that they'll hire them once they leave the university, you know, that's going to drastically increase the cost of tuition for the students who do have to pay, because they're going to have to make that up somewhere. They're you know, obviously money doesn't grow on trees.
Well, what I want to know is, can we just go there and say we're Palestinian? It's not like Palestine probably has records of their citizens. Is it, how do you even prove if someone's Palestinian? Like, can we just all go to college for free now?
I think
do
so.
Do I have to talk with an accent?
I think I'm dark enough. I could probably make it work.
You're getting there, dude.
Yeah, dude. I'll
don't discriminate against us white Palestinians. Okay, we just live a little bit northern.
You know, that's the thing.
I'm from the West Bank. You're from the Gaza Strip. It's okay.
Oh, we're separated, separated brothers from birth. But oh God. So you know, and also, the Palestinian protesters, like they're beating the shit out of the Jewish students. Like, you know, stopping them from entering buildings and like literally like attacking them in mobs on the street. And
that's messed up, dude.
Oh, it's totally messed up. Yeah, that's but, ridiculous. You know, President Trump said something on Truth Social, which I thought was, you know, pretty profound, fairly accurate. He said, you know, wow, it's so weird. We've got all these protests all over the country. Do you think maybe they were designed to draw the attention of the American people away from the southern border? And I think that's a pretty obvious tell right there. I mean, like, that seems like exactly something they would do, you know, create a manufactured crisis to take the eyes of the people off of a genuine crisis, because they can choose to stop these paid agitators anytime they want to. And they can also use this particular incident as a sort of a power grab, you know, a way for them to perhaps, you know, militarize college campuses a little bit, to stifle free speech, or what they consider to be the wrong free speech, perhaps. I mean, there's all kinds of net positive end results that they can achieve from doing this. But, you know, they're not going to be able to use the anti-Semitism logo anymore. So they've kind of like shot themselves in the foot with that.
Well, it's interesting because Palestinians are Semites, too. So the old anti-Semitism, it's like the Spider-Man meme at this point. So how do you quantify that? But the whole thing is weird. See, like beating up regular kids just because they're Jewish is absolutely messed up. But like the protesters, right? If you got protesters on both sides, if they decide to fight, they decide to fight. You know, whatever happens, happens. But most of them are definitely paid on both sides. We've seen this like 1,000 times at this point, right? So it's not hard to discern that there's definitely paid agitators, both sides. They're paid to start a fight. And then the real people who are getting swept up in it, the pawns, if you will, pawns in the game, are then also fighting. And it is just a mess. And it's kind of like the old... It's kind of like the old grouping in of everything, right? Everyone wants to say like, oh, it's the Jews. Oh, it's the terrorists. Like Hamas, they're a terrorist organization. They're pretty shitty to women. I can't even believe how many college girls are out there trying to like support. Well, they're supporting Palestine, but I mean, they're really supporting Hamas. Hamas is their government and they're doing all this stuff right now. And then the machinations of like the Mossad and the Israeli government, they've messed with the whole world all the time. Well, so you have these two organizations up here, and then you have regular people down below who are the real victims on both sides, or like the regular Jewish kid or the regular Muslim kid walking down the street, getting their ass kicked, although it seems to only be Jews. But it's just like It's such a interesting thing, because how do you decide who you want? I mean, Israel messes with them, right? They always mess with Israel as well. They're firing rockets into like regular neighborhoods. It's not exactly like the Palestinians are wonderful people, but at least the Hamas, or at least the people who are down with what they're doing. And both sides have been shitty to each other. I just go with Godzilla. Let them fight.
I'm fine with letting other people sort out their differences as well. You know, I think it's unnecessary for us to get involved. But, you know, there's all this hate that's been built up against, you know, Jews specifically, and, you know, by placing them into that lump. You know, it's not like the Jewish people walking down the street that are like calling or actively going into Palestinian neighborhoods and bombing them and killing them and stuff. I mean, it's the government telling the IDF to do it. And, you know, and what's so ironic about this, and we've talked about this on the show before, is that Hamas was a creation of Israel and the Mossad. It was a religious organization that was created to essentially dethrone the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, which was a secular organization. And it was gaining relevance. It was gaining popularity. I mean, they were in control of Palestine or the West Bank and Gaza. And, you know, they wanted to get rid of Yasser Arafat because they wanted to elevate this radical religious organization, because it made a two-state solution that much less likely, because now they're fighting terrorists. They're not fighting freedom fighters.
Yeah, they, you know, that's a very good clarification distinction there.
Yeah.
And it just changes everything. And, you know, everyone suffers, man. It's kind of like, you know, people will look at things, right, like Jewish people in different places, right, like Jewish government officials or Mossad and stuff like that. And we're like, I hate the Jews. Everything's the Jews. But it's like, look at the CIA. Like, that's like me looking at the CIA and the Obama administration and be like, oh, I hate the United States of America. Well, you know, it's like, normal people have nothing to do with that. Normal regular citizens have nothing to do with that. Normal Jews have nothing to do with that. Even normal Palestinians, you know, they have nothing to do with the other side of that coin. So it's kind of like a failed thing at this point. I think people, they look at it in too broad of a stroke, and then the only victims wind up being the regular people.
Exactly.
Like the Jews getting beat up on the street. What the fuck did they have to do with any of this?
Or go to any banana republic in South or Central America where the CIA overthrew a democratically elected government, or, you know, Iran. Iran is a perfect example. You know, Mossadegh was secular. Mossadegh was peaceful. He was bringing Iran into the Western world. But we wanted control of their oil. And so we overthrew Mossadegh. We installed the Shah. The Shah was a brutal authoritarian regime. And then eventually the people, with the help of the mullahs and radical Islam, overthrew the Shah. And so the Iranians, they look, you know, it's the Americans. It's the Jews. You know, you go to any of these countries down in South and Central America, they're going to say it's the Americans. They might say, you know, hey, it's the CIA. But I mean, the Americans are the ones who brought the CIA here. You know, we're the Iran-Contra, anyone? You know, I mean, we're the ones who gave the Contras rockets and guns. You know, I mean, they were committing acts of terrorism in Nicaragua. I mean, how many deaths are on the hands of the American government? This goes to exactly what you're saying. You know, it is our corrupt and failed establishments that make up the bulk of our governments. Okay, the people of planet Earth are blameless in this. They're caught up in the middle of these massive power struggles between these different nations, between these different intelligence agencies. And for anybody, you know, for any one person who says, you know, it's the Jews, I mean, there's a bunch of other people out there who are saying it's the Americans.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And it just causes things like we're watching here with these, with the protesters and stuff. Yep. But again, dude, it's obviously a show. It's obviously was caused. I like what you're saying about to distract from the border. I think that makes a lot of sense. And also, too, is it's a distraction from many things. All this stuff, right? Everyone was pretty upset about what's been going on with Trump and all this stuff with him. Well, that kind of takes the little eyes off that now as well. So they can maybe be worse to him. It's hard to be overtly terrible when everyone's watching your every move. It's easier to do it when no one's watching, and then you could kind of sugarcoat what happened after the fact. You could kind of rewrite history a little. But when everyone's just all eyes are on, you know, it's harder to explain your crazy moves. So I think they're trying to distract from a lot of things. It's interesting that it's right around the time the Summer of Love started last election season. It's riot season, guys. Mm-hmm. It's a presidential election year.
Yeah, we might as well just quit saying summer. It's riot season.
Yeah, it's riot season.
I like it. I like it. Oh, it's good stuff. Yeah. So, So at the end of the day, you know, all these different people of all these different nations that we're in locked in constant conflicts with, I mean, they are not the ones who are controlling the government. Hold on. There was a couple of, I need to pop out my chat here for Rumble so that I can take note of these Rumble rants. Fredo actually just said something that I am going to reach out to Rumble about, because it's something that I've considered that we need over here on Rumble for quite some time. And that is the ability to gift subscriptions to people who are in the chat, because Pild has that. And that's unique over there. I mean, it's like, you know, for the alternate streaming platforms like Pild and Twitch and DLive, you can do that stuff, but you can't do it over on Rumble. And I think you should be able to. So he says Rumble should offer the ability to give subs like Pild does. One thing that they do have that's superior. I still prefer Rumble, but I would like to see it there. Make it happen, guys. Pull some strings. I'll do what I can for sure. And then
that'd be cool.
Al Mitham says states which share Sharia law are full of child bride efforts. Sharia law equals pedophilia. You're absolutely correct. Yes, yeah, exactly. That is the truth. I will not argue with you there. Not at all.
Yeah, was there? It's like Bakta something, right? It's like a whole kind of.
Oh, you talking about the Bukabazi boys? The
Bukabazi, that's what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Afghanistan. Yeah. They like take a young boy lover and rape them. Yeah, it's
well, that's something I've heard for years and years. Oh, yeah. Going back before I was fully awake to anything, that it's kind of like in their culture to groom young boys.
Totally.
To be, you know,
I mean, raping little boys, you know, I mean, taking child brides. I mean, yes, it's definitely part of the culture. And, you know, this has been one of the things that we've seen actually. You know, be a major problem in the UK. You know, for as long as they've been mass importing Muslim migrants, you've had these like basically, you know, Muslim rape gangs who are going after little girls, and they're protected by the police because they say, well, it's part of their culture and, you know, we don't want to offend them. And it's just so horrible to think that the police would cover up the rape of children, you know, boy or girl, to allow it to continue because it's, you know, part of some backward third world practice. You know, I mean, like, get rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need that at all.
Ancient. This is the modern world. It's like no place for that in the modern world. And it's not like we just entered the modern world. I mean, I guess in the history of time, we kind of just did. But it's hundreds of years that has been completely panned in most modern societies. And it's just despicable. Probably thousands of years, if you think about it. But, you know, ancient Rome, there was weird stuff going on. And some of those old cultures, they did do stuff like that. It's like, dude, it's 2024. It's absolutely despicable.
Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah. Hold on. True Grit says, then why do they behead gays and throw them off roofs? Well, it's a totally different scenario when you take a young boy and force yourself upon him than when you meet up with a full-grown adult in the bathroom of a rest stop or something like that, and then you have to kill them because of it. You don't want anybody else to know about it. But a little boy is not going to do anything. More. You know, yeah. I honestly, I don't know why they do it, but you know, that was a bad joke.
But they do. It's I guess the two really don't work with each other, but it's weird.
No,
but it is interesting seeing like a lot of LGBT protesters and female protesters. I'm pretty sure Hamas don't like you guys. I'm pretty sure they don't. Nevertheless, so. The way they all go about it. And then I guess also, too, is the interesting thing is a lot of these people, these are the same people who called us Nazis for almost a decade at this point, or probably even longer than that. They once support Ukraine. They support the Azov Battalion. And now they want death to Israel. So it's just like, it's a meme. They've literally become a meme.
Yeah, they have. It's come full circle. It's pretty, pretty awful. I think it's Texas Jules' birthday. I've seen a couple of people say that. Hey, happy birthday, Jules.
Happy birthday. That's freaking cool.
Sleep State says the pro-Palestinian protests don't do Palestinians any good. They're funded and orchestrated by Soros and other deep state organizations to snuff out any support there is for Gaza. You know, I won't disagree with you there.
Actually, you know? I saw someone actually officially tie it to Soros the other day. I have it saved somewhere, but it was an organization that, you know, has a lot of Soros startup money behind it, who were getting the tents and all that stuff.
So what they want is to have the Palestinians expelled from Israeli land because of all of this unrest, and then force them out into the rest of the world so that we'll be locked in an eternal struggle with them, because their culture doesn't really jive with ours either, in the same way it doesn't jive with the Jews. And, you know, and George, I mean, the protesters themselves that are out there, you know, even the ones that are paid, I don't think that this is on their mind. I think that, you know, they are ideologically aligned with the idea that they're freedom fighters and they're, you know, they're going to start the revolution. They're going to free Palestine. They're going to turn America into a communist nation. It's the higher ups. It's the actual money men who understand the full grift of what they're trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they understand what that would mean. I think these people think communism equals some sort of utopia.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, are they going to be upset. I mean, look with the Bolsheviks, right? It took them a few years to go through everyone, more than a few, I think, to get that all underway. All these people were murdered. And then by the time it was done, what did it take them? 80 years to get out from under that mess? So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. I'm talking about intel agencies. I think actually this kind of works good with what you were showing me before the show, right? With our buddy from the CIA.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, listen, before we do that, we should give the shout out to our first sponsors, probably.
Yes, we have some good ones today. Are you tired of searching for the perfect gift for the men in your life? Look no further. Introducing Manly Cans, the ultimate destination for spoiling your guys with the cool stuff we actually want, whether it be anniversaries, birthdays, or just for the heck of it. Manly Cans are more than just gifts. They're an experience. Each can is carefully packed in reusable packaging, including cans, burlap bags, and even a greeting card that doubles as a coaster. You can even customize your Manly Cans to fit your man's personality. Choose from a wide variety of cans, and during checkout, add additional items to make it just right for him. Manly Cans is an unforgettable experience that supports other small businesses too. Join us in our mission to take care of the men in your life. Visit badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans today and give your guy a gift to remember. Manly Cans, because, well, men deserve to be spoiled too. That's badlandsmedia.tv/manlycans. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts, while the Democrats lean towards letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But there is no reason to worry, because there is a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver. But hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. Badlanders, have you ordered No Bugs Beef yet? Having enough protein to feed your family for several months is essential for your survival. Veteran-owned No Bugs Beef offers freeze-dried beef cubes and freezer boxes with steaks and roasts, all made from high-quality, all-American cattle. And they're designed to last up to 20 years, making them the perfect choice for long-term food storage. Whether you're stocking up for your doomsday bunker or just looking for a convenient, delicious meal option, No Bugs Beef has you covered. Enjoy delicious, high-quality beef anytime, anywhere, knowing that you're prepared for whatever the future holds, so you can start enjoying peace of mind along with your delicious meals. Get your family prepared for the chaos at badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs. And don't forget to use the promo code BADLANDS for an even bigger discount, 15% off. That's right, badlandsmedia.tv/nobugs, promo code BADLANDS.
Oh. And we're back.
Thank you for that short commercial break, or for waiting for the next commercial.
Before we talk about the agency, Fredo says, does anyone think the hostages in Gaza are still alive? I don't. I've been seeing a lot about that. I think they met the same fate as Noam's dog that misbehaves by now. Well, from what I understand, they tried to locate them and they couldn't find them. Probably they weren't looking deep enough into that mass grave behind the mosque.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I tend to believe it's that they're so not bad. Alive either, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I don't think so either. That's what I mean. Like, there's like, I don't know, everyone wants you to pick a side in this conflict, and it's just like all this murder and terribleness on every side. You know, even the people who are like, oh, Israel did this and that, and, you know, sometimes they make a case. Listen, Israel and the Mossad have wreaked havoc across the world with different things, but it's like they came in on chairs and on fan chairs, kidnapped people, and then probably murdered them. Mm-hmm. Like regular people, just people at a concert, you know, not the Israeli government. They didn't kidnap Mossad agents. Like, so you're supporting that? That's kind of insane. I don't know.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess that didn't even happen though, Brad. I mean,
there's, listen, who knows? Hey, you know, at this point, there's been so many, you know, Gulf of Tonkin-esque incidences. And
I'm pretty sure it did, though. I'll just go on record. I mean,
it feels like it did. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely saw some stuff that I wish I could not have seen. And I've seen a lot of fake things and I've seen a lot of real things. And that definitely had the feeling of something real. And if we're ultimately considering this an orchestrated event designed to kill the goodwill for Palestinians so that they can be fully ejected, I think that the best way you get there is by actually killing people. You know, I mean, yeah. In the same way we were talking earlier, you know, the average Israeli, they're not the ones doing this. I mean, they're the ones who were killed because they need the Israeli people and, the rest of the people who are supporting Israel to say, you know, we need to expel the Palestinians. That's the only way that we can stop this, is to, you know, just get them out of there, kill them. And so, I mean, what's it to them? You know, I mean, you have a couple of hundred people, you know, slaughtered, you know, they've still got plenty more. I mean, none of the bigwigs died. You know, I mean, nobody came into the palace or anything like that, or the government buildings and killed elected officials. I mean, those people were totally safe. And, and I've said this so many times, but there's no way that people on parachutes and fan chairs and on four-wheeled, side-by-sides and motorcycles, there's no way they came through that fence or over that fence. And the Iron Dome, the five Iron Domes that make up their defense shield, all of them failed for several hours before, you know, finally starting to work again. And just recently, their head of security, like the guy who is actually overseeing that stuff, they just fired him because, I mean, it's pretty obvious that there was a failure, a lapse of some sort. I think it was orchestrated.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is like orchestrating mass war propaganda situations for any number of reasons. Is just been going on since the history of time. Look at World War II, I think, is one of the most glaring ones. And I'll only speak for myself here, but I personally think that was a setup. I mean, there's ideas that point to Hitler being a Rothschild. I think he was set up there to literally set up Germany, and look what he's done. By the time World War II was done, white people have been demonized. Mm-hmm. White Europe was in ruins, and then white people have been demonized ever since. I mean, and, you know, some people like say, well, the Rothschilds, but then they killed Jews. That's what they're willing to do. I mean, look how many Jews died in World War II in those camps. 271,000 of them died of typhoid and starved to death in those camps. They don't care about their own people, and they're willing to do it if they can demonize people.
Yeah, yeah. Warrior Mima also says, just found my grandmother's dictionary printed in 1954. Holocaust as a word is not in it. It's a made-up atrocity for sympathy for the Jews who are not Jews. So I think that the term Holocaust like didn't really come into vogue until like later in the 20th century. I know that, you know, they used the term, but I don't know that it was like as popularized. I can tell you that, you know, Lisa's family, they actually escaped from Belgium during World War II. Like they had to, you know, the Nazis came in and, you know, took over. So, I mean, like, I don't know exactly the true nature of what happened, but I mean, certainly there was a war and, you know, there are people dying and stuff. But
they definitely threw Jews in camps and rounded them up. I mean, there's like no way around that. You know, I think the 6 million number is, I personally think that's complete garbage. And they were floating that for like decades before World War II. So it's like interesting, but nevertheless, I mean, they still did it though. They were still like an operation to demonize and like terrorize these people. So
certainly, certainly. Yeah. And you know, another interesting thing that people don't often talk about is that, you know, they always, you know, Hitler hated all Jews. That's like, you know, what they say, but it was a very select group that Hitler wanted out of Germany. It was like, truthfully, like, you know, there are different like sects of religions, and you know, it wasn't the like the Hasidic Jews that Hitler was, you know, upset with. I mean, it wasn't the people actually going to temple. It was a very specific subset called Sabbateans. And I think we should save this conversation because I want to do a whole show on the Sabbatean sect, because it's very it'll be very familiar when we get to it. But, you know, it's a lot more. It's the same as what we were saying earlier. It's so much more convenient when you can just say the Jews instead of some Jews. You know, right, it's like just like when they say all Americans or, you know, like all Hispanics, whatever it might be, you know, but it just makes it easier for the controllers to control us and to get us angry and to have us hate each other rather than paying attention to who the real problem is. And, you know, we know that there are evil people behind the scenes, you know, the deep state itself, you know, they will cloak themselves in Christianity or in Judaism or in Islam. And then, you know, try to use that as a shield so that, you know, they can't be attacked. But then when people see that, you know, they see the clothing that they're wearing, you know, up front, they've got a big sign that says, I identify as this, you know, here's my behavior, associate that with that. So then, you know, people internalize that. And then, you know, that's what happens.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, like some psycho shoots up a school and they're like, white people.
Yeah.
Like, white people. Whoa, I didn't do that. I wouldn't do that. What are you talking about? You know, it's just this grand thing. It's their greatest trick on the human race.
It's true. It's very true. All right. Well, speaking of tricks, let's talk about our next topic here, Brad, because James O'Keefe and the good people at O'Keefe Media Group just came out with a banging new report. I actually watched it with my audience tonight on my show. So if you were there tonight and you guys know what I'm talking about, did we talk about the Kyle Serafin attack on James O'Keefe last week, Brad, or did I talk about that on my show?
We didn't talk about it on here, but it's like the most eye-rolling like attempt to defame someone in the human history, I feel.
Yeah, it was really transparent, you know, like Kyle started going after James O'Keefe. You know, he's also recently gone after Jake Lang, you know, J6 Jake Lang. And
I think I know who that is. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been on my show a number of times. And like, you know, I know him. OK, I mean, like he seems like a real nice guy. And I'll tell you what, he's been more vocal than anybody in keeping the attention on the January 6th prisoners. You know, he's been in prison for over 3 years without a trial. You know, he's raised a ton of money. He's paying for like commissary for people. He's getting them things that they need inside there. And, you know, they're not all in the same prisons, but I mean, he's basically set up this like network and a means to support the people that are unjustly imprisoned. And so a couple of people wrote me and was like, you know, Kyle Serafin's calling out Jake Lang and, you know, careful. And so I didn't really see what Kyle Serafin was saying other than just he was calling Jake a grifter. So there was no evidence there. Yeah. And I was like, okay, so maybe he doesn't like his tactics. That happens all the time. But then he started attacking James O'Keefe. And he started saying that, you know, James is not a real journalist and, you know, this is, you know, bogus what he does. And it's not even his work. He's taking credit for other people's stuff. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a report where James O'Keefe doesn't explicitly state that it was an undercover journalist that he doesn't name because they don't want their evidence. They don't want their identity out there. You know, they want to remain right. anonymous. So, I mean, James is always giving credit to other people. And, and obviously, I mean, he is, he created Project Veritas. He has done so many good exposés. I mean, not every single time, but 95% of the time, I'm like, this is very, very valuable for people to be seeing. So James had actually said something about exposing the CIA. He asked if he should. And then almost immediately thereafter, Kyle started attacking him.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I thought it was a little odd. And then he puts out this video, which is like a 15-minute video of basically James at this, James and this other guy are at this wedding. And it seems like they are playing a part, like they're there doing, trying to get someone who works for Chuck Schumer to talk to them. And this happens to be a woman, and she happens to be drunk as a skunk. And she's like, you know, talking to James and this guy, and she's up in their face and she's like very aggressive. And she starts talking about the way her vagina feels. And, you know, I mean, like anybody who's ever been to a bar and a drunk person, either male or female, you know, just is overly aggressive and talking like, you know, 3 inches from your face because they're so wasted and they're spitting and they're loud. And, you know, they just, you know, they don't know what they're doing. You know, I've seen what happened there in my own life. I mean, like I have been that polite guy who just like put up with the antics of somebody else who was annoying and I didn't really want to be around him, you know. But I mean, in this instance, she worked for Chuck Schumer and she was talking about Chuck Schumer. And so, of course, they're trying to get her to say something about Chuck Schumer. And so they're kind of playing along. She's begging them for drinks. And then eventually they mention something about being conservative, and the guy that he's with says something about them having big dicks. Okay, you know, God forbid. All right, you know, but they're in a bar. They're supposed to be drunk. She's talking about her vagina. Nobody went home together. Okay, yeah, there was like no sexual interaction between them. She was hanging on James. Okay,
right.
Yeah. And he didn't take advantage of her. It wasn't anything like that. But that is how Kyle Serafin kind of framed the conversation. And he was like, you know, this girl is half James's age. And it's, you know, would you want your daughter doing this? Well, no, my daughter wouldn't be stupid enough to do that, though. You know, I mean, like this girl was a drunk Democrat and she was the one who was trying to impress a couple of strange men that she didn't know who were twice her age. And then, you know, somebody else, Tracy Beans, shared it. And she was like, this is disgusting. If you don't think it's disgusting, then we're not on the same side. And, you know, I just thought it was a really disingenuous attack and it totally missed the mark. And, I haven't talked to either of them about it. You know, I've never really spoken with Kyle Serafin. I've never really spoken with Tracy Beans. So, you know, they have their right to their opinions. But I think that it was completely off base. And I thought at the time, you know, wow, this is interesting timing. James O'Keefe mentions he's going to do an expose on the CIA, and suddenly somebody who's he's an FBI whistleblower, he's coming forward to say that James O'Keefe is a bad guy. And the cool thing about it was that nobody bought it. I don't know a single person who fucking bought it. Everybody was just flaming them. They got ratioed. They got ratioed in the in the comments. And then so today we get an expose, a CIA agent. He's a contractor. He works at Deloitte, and they didn't know that he was a CIA contractor when this girl, the undercover, went out with him. And, you know, I've seen a couple of different of these exposés. People in my chat have said, you know, there's no way. You know, I don't believe that these people would be this stupid. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, just like put yourself in the in some shoes. You know, you think you're going to get laid, and this person is like way outside of your league, and you're trying to impress them. And these people happen to be federal government employees whose egos are as big as a house, and yeah, they've got ego. Somebody. Yes, they've got somebody paying attention to them, and so you know they want to say whatever they need to say to impress, so that they can get into your pants by the end of the night. And it's obvious that that's what this guy was doing. It.
Yeah, and also too, right? Huge egos, but also when you're on a date with someone, right, that you don't know anything about, what's like the number one thing? Or even if you're just making friends with someone, what's the number one thing someone asks you? Oh, what do you do for a living? Mm-hmm. Like, it's literally the opening statement to everything. That's the first thing people talk about. We live in an indentured servitude society. It's most of all of our identity is what mm-hmm. we do. Yeah. You do it more than anything else all week long. So, I mean, it's actually quite normal to talk about that. I don't think it's weird at all. And again, this girl, you know, they're just cutting out the parts where he's telling her stuff. She's obviously honeypotting him, and she's obviously flirting in between those takes. It's not just a cold, like, what do you do? Do you work for the CIA?
Yeah.
You know, like that, he would be like, oh, screw this and leave.
You've got obviously hours.
She worked up to that, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Hours and hours of conversation that they're not going to put on there because they have to make it succinct. And here's the other thing that I don't know that everybody is aware of, but they met through Bumble. And, you know, Twitter is one, or excuse me, Tinder. Tinder is one thing. You know, I mean, like, it's like you match people and then, you know, you talk to them and then you maybe meet them in person. But with Bumble, if you're just a guy and you just put your profile on Bumble, and then a girl has to find you, and then she has to choose you. You can't initiate a conversation. So,
oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like it's more likely that you're actually going to get along because you already know that the girl is interested enough to spark up the conversation and invite you out. So he probably showed up thinking like, you know, wow, I really scored. You know, I mean, like, yeah, I better impress this girl because she's, you know, and I'm sure she was younger than him. I mean, he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he had some road miles for sure. And so, you know, we don't know what she looks like, but I mean, obviously, I think that they're going to place attractive women in these positions. And I mean, I guess with thinking about the gay ones that they did, you know, it doesn't matter as much because if you've got guys that are matching on Tinder, like they both just want to get laid. Like they're showing up because they know it's a foregone conclusion. I don't care what he looks like. I'm just going to do it.
Oh my gosh.
So they just talk. They just talk and they don't care. Oh my God.
Yeah, but it's... But this guy gave up the go, man. And it's interesting how he said he worked for Lockheed Martin and Northrop Grumman for many years as well, overlapping while he was in the CIA. And that kind of lends itself to the marriage of the military industrial complex and the intel.
Absolutely.
World.
Yeah. I mean, it's a sick, twisted relationship. And, you know, another thing that he said, well, I mean, obviously, I mean, he said all the things that we knew happened, right? The CIA withheld information from Trump. They all think that he's an effing idiot. They don't want him to be president again. You know, I mean, essentially, they stonewalled. And James O'Keefe goes through all of these crimes that they actively committed in withholding that information from the president and, you know, endangering national security. And also, I mean, I think he could get in trouble for saying what he said to this woman. You know, telling her that because he shows his badge. His badge does not say CIA on it because, I mean, they don't need to. Yeah. You look at your badge, it doesn't have anything. And they're like, oh, OK, part of the company, you know, come on in. and so, you know, he's just at the end of the day, he confirmed everything that we knew happened during the Trump administration. But I don't think we've ever had an actual agent openly admit to the type of obstruction that we were aware was taking place. And that is so notable. And, you know, regardless of anything about James O'Keefe, you know, I honestly don't care about his personal life. I don't care if he is dating younger girls. Okay. I mean, if everybody's an adult, it's none of my business. All right. I don't care if 100%. James drinks. Doesn't bother me. I don't drink, but I could care less if he drinks. I don't care what he spends his money on. You know, none of it bothers me. And if there is damning evidence about James O'Keefe actually breaking laws, then go to the cops. Okay. You know, do the right thing with that information instead of holding it over somebody's head like blackmail, because that's what it feels like to me. Like he was trying to blackmail James O'Keefe into not releasing what he was going to release. But James O'Keefe knows that if you hold information like that, you keep yourself in danger. Okay. Yes. Knowing that CIA agent, knowing that that report was out there, knowing that it hadn't been released yet. You know, I mean, like he could have taken care of that problem pretty quickly. I mean, what is it to order a hit on somebody? Just ask Andrew Breitbart. Oh, no, you can't. That's right. Because the Obama admin assassinated him a day before he was going to release a damning report on Obama's real background and who that guy really was.
Yeah, you get it out there. You just get it out there as fast as you can. And you get your face out there with it. So everyone knows. And, you know, that's kind of like the Boeing whistleblower. It should be brought back up. I feel like maybe I'll post about it again. But that guy, he got his whole story out there. He got it out of his face. So when he turned up dead, people know.
Exactly.
And people were like, oh, my God, this is definitely.
They killed him.
Yeah, there's no way. He was there to give a deposition, which is something he had been working on for like 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. This was what he had finally been waiting for. There's no way on earth he would kill himself in the parking lot garage of the hotel that he was renting to go and testify, finally, and tell a story. Yeah. But one thing I thought was interesting with this guy was that Amjad Fassisi or something like that.
He sounded like a Muslim.
Yeah, but he, and at one point he says that in March of 2016, again, this is all stuff we knew, but it's just coming straight from his mouth is amazing. He said that in March of 2016, that John Brennan identified 26 members of Trump's team and tasked agents with bumping them, which means kind of like you just wind up in their presence, you know, like I was like, what would happen to Papadopoulos and everything, whatever, trying to all of a sudden they're there and they're schmoozing with you. And now you're getting weird offers and people all of a sudden hand you money and stuff. And so they were doing that to everyone. Trump, they were spying on him. And March 2016, that makes a lot of sense because that's when everything starts. It's only a month or two after that Hillary approves the notion to defame him with the Russiagate stuff. I think it was like July 26th, something like that, per that record, that they're going to start defaming him with that and all these different things. And the Steele dossier comes out and all this Spygate really ramps up from then. So March actually predates it all just a little bit. So that's an interesting piece to the Spygate puzzle. And he says that intel agencies everywhere were involved. He was saying that all of our intelligences and world intel agencies were purposely keeping information from him. One thing with the Pompeo stuff, I will say, is that when you actually watch the full clip, he seems pretty short at Gina Haspel. And but when he says Pompeo, he goes, I believe Mike Pompeo too. That's the one that he doesn't seem sure about, and it might very well be the case. But I will say that's the one when you hear him say it, he goes, I think Mike Pompeo. So he's kind of speculating when he says that. Yeah,
Brad. So I just wanted somebody in the chat had asked if anybody was ever held accountable for the death of that Boeing whistleblower who allegedly, not in my opinion, shot himself in the head. And you guys are never going to believe this. Another Boeing whistleblower died this morning.
What? For real?
His name was Josh Dean. He worked for Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems. Spirit AeroSystems is the company that installed that door that ripped off of the Alaska Airlines flight. And he was a former quality auditor at Boeing supplier Spirit AeroSystems. And one of the first whistleblowers to allege Spirit leadership had ignored manufacturing defects on the 737 MAX. He died Tuesday morning after a struggle with a sudden, fast-spreading infection.
What?
Fucking
that is suspicious as crap.
Oh, my God. They just killed another one. I can't believe that. Wow.
That's freaking nuts, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, this is another thing, because there's like a big thing going on with Boeing. There's a big internal investigation right now.
Yeah.
And Boeing, they supply airplanes to almost all the major airplane companies. I don't even know.
Airlines.
I know it's not airlines. I was like, I know there's a word for this.
Airplane.
But yeah, Boeing, I mean, you basically, we all fly in Boeings all the time. So hold on, that's interesting. There's either one or two things. Did a dive on this a couple months ago on the Tuesday show. And there's either one or two things going on with Boeing. Either they're trying to take them down. Someone's trying to take them down. Or Boeing is corrupt as crap and hooked up with all the wrong people that we all know. And they're scared. And now that it's all coming out, they're trying to clean house. Either way, there is some shady, shady stuff going on. And the other Boeing whistleblower who was killed, he was the same thing. I think he was on the floor like a quality assurance, kind of like a monitor. So he started being like, whoa, dude, the Dreamliners. And there was another one where he was like, these are no good.
Yeah.
And he's been doing it since like the mid-2010s or the early 2010s.
Yeah. So, okay. So look at this. Let's see. Known as Josh, Dean lived in Wichita, Kansas, where Spirit is based. He was 45. He had been in good health, and he was noted for having a healthy lifestyle. He died after 2 weeks in critical condition. Spirit spokesperson Joe Bucchino said, "Our thoughts are with Josh Dean's family. This sudden loss is stunning news here and for his loved ones." Dean had given a deposition in a Spirit shareholder lawsuit and also filed a complaint with the FAA alleging serious and gross misconduct by senior quality management of the 737 production line. Spirit fired Dean in April 2023, and he had filed a complaint with the Department of Labor alleging his termination was in retaliation for raising concerns related to aviation safety. The other whistleblower was marginalized because he had raised concerns, and they basically, like, you know, stuck him in a room somewhere to try and keep him quiet. I think that, you know, they didn't want to fire him, but then he ended up leaving because they knew that he was, you know, they were just trying to keep him quiet. So Parsons said Dean became ill and went to the hospital because he was having trouble breathing just over 2 weeks ago. He was intubated and developed pneumonia and then a serious bacterial infection, MRSA. His condition deteriorated rapidly. He was airlifted to Wichita to a hospital in Oklahoma City. There he was put on an ECMO machine, which circulates and oxygenates a patient's blood outside the body. There, think about how many opportunities they have based upon his treatment to introduce some sort of, you know, killer bug or whatever it was. I mean, all they'd have to do is just squirt a little bit of MRSA into his blood as they're cleaning it through that machine. Right. And yeah, then that would be it. His mother posted, okay, look at this. Okay, so taking over heart and lung function when a patient's organs don't work on their own. His mother posted a message Friday on Facebook relating to all those details, saying that he was fighting for his life. He was heavily sedated and put on dialysis. A CT scan indicated he suffered a stroke. By the end, doctors were considering amputating both hands and feet. It was brutal what he went through. Heartbreaking. Dean was represented by a law firm in South Carolina that also represented whistleblower John Mitch Barnett.
Oh, John Barnett. Yeah, okay, yep. That's the first one. Barnett, you know, his John Barnett's family, it was a good family friend, a girl, had come out not long after that and said that he had explicitly told her, "I am not suicidal. If you see anything happen to you, it's absolutely foul play."
Wow. I am going to be reaching out to the attorney because both of them, they represented both of them. That's insane. Yeah. The lawyer says he didn't want to speculate about the close timing and circumstances of the two deaths. Whistleblowers are needed. They bring light to wrongdoing and corruption in the interests of society. It takes a lot of courage to stand up. It's a difficult set of circumstances. Our thoughts now are with John's family and Josh's family. Dean was a mechanical engineer. He began working at Spirit in 2019. He was laid off the next year because of the pandemic. In October 2022, he said he found a serious manufacturing defect. Mechanics improperly drilling holes in the aft pressure bulkhead of the MAX. When he flagged the issue with management, he said nothing was done. Focused on those defects, he said he missed during the same audit a separate manufacturing flaw in the fittings that attached the vertical tail fin to the fuselage. When that was discovered in April, he caused a delivery pause at Boeing's Renton plant. Then he was fired. Then in August, Spirit announced the discovery of improperly drilled holes in the Max's aft pressure bulkhead, a flaw that was present in Max's built as early as 2019. This caused another delivery halt in Renton. With that discovery, Dean filed a safety complaint with the FAA. He said Spirit had used him as a scapegoat and had lied to the FAA about the aft pressure bulkhead defects. After I was fired, Spirit Aerosystems initially did nothing to inform the FAA and the public. In November, he sent a letter to the FAA stating that it had completed an investigation of the safety issues he flagged. The letter cloaks the outcome, though. It seems to confirm that his allegations had substance. The investigation determined that your allegations were appropriately addressed under an FAA-approved safety program. However, due to the privacy provisions of those programs, specific details cannot be released. The same month, he filed his aviation whistleblower complaint with the Department of Labor, alleging wrongful termination and gross misconduct. That case was still pending. I wonder if it's still going to be pending now that he's dead. Wow. The shareholder lawsuit alleging Spirit management withheld information on the quality flaws and harmed stockholders was filed in December. Oh, gosh, this lawsuit is brand new. Supporting the suit, Dean provided a deposition detailing his allegations. After a panel blew off a Boeing 737 MAX in January, bringing new attention to the quality lapses, one of Dean's former Spirit colleagues confirmed some of Dean's allegations. Wowzers, dude. Wowzers.
They better get protection.
If anybody else comes forward.
Right, you know? Yeah. Well, whoever backs him up. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that is wild, dude. Wild.
Man,
I can't
they
believe
cut his
that.
Hands and feet off before he died. That was how this guy had to spend his last moments here. Holy crap,
so
dude.
Terrible.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
That's why it's important to, that's why things like what James O'Keefe is doing is so important to expose these people for who they are. You know, you grow up thinking these people are like heroes of the country. And then, you know, just not saying the CIA is involved in that, I don't know. But I mean, they all kind of are intertwined. All these agencies kind of are intertwined, and there's a lot of shady dealings that kind of overlap with them, it feels so.
Yeah, no, you can't say it any other way. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, even this guy was saying, and the O'Keefe thing, that they kind of were all in contact with each other. They all, on a whole, were like, Trump's a buffoon, we're not going to tell him anything. And they were just kind of all on the same page. He says he worked for the NSA and the CIA as long as two of our defense contractors. So it's just a lot.
Oh,
and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He said,
at one point,
he helped them scan their insider program, their insider threat. Yeah.
So Regrub says, Zach, cutting off hands and feet is the punishment to defectors of the Jesuit oath. I'm going to go look and see where this guy went to school now.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yes, that is fascinating. Thank you, Regrub. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. Wow. Wow, that's just
a weird world out there, guys.
Yeah.
I'm glad we're all normal, or at least semi-normal. I never thought I was, but my God, dude, after looking into this world, I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm okay.
Yeah,
I'm
right. I think he was dead as soon as they put him on the respirator. You know, I mean, like, you know, 9 times out of 10, you don't come back from that once you got something else breathing for you. So, yep. God, I mean, and obviously they kept him alive for long enough that whatever they likely gave him to give him labored breathing at the beginning probably was no longer in his system anymore. I mean, I would imagine there has to be something like an easy toxin or a poison or something that they can give that's going to give you, you know, labored breathing symptoms. And then you show up at the hospital and, you know, somebody's a company man and they say, oh, you know, we're going to have to put you on a respirator, put you out for a little bit. Don't worry, you'll be fine. And then you never wake up again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they have many ways to do many disgusting things like that. Ugh, freaking scary, man.
Yes, yes. All right, so Regrub, thanks, buddy. I'm definitely going to, I'll look into this. And I got to be honest, I'm going to call his attorneys, too. I'll see if they'll talk to me off air or off the record.
The old off the record, yeah. As long as it's not with one of James O'Keefe's employees. Off the record.
Well, I would imagine the lawyers are probably thinking, you know, who's next? You know, like, how many more whistleblowers do we have? I mean, are they going to kill us now?
That's the thing. What happens to these cases when the star witnesses all disappear? It's like the mafia cases in the city. You have nothing. They get off. It gets swept under the rug, and then no one thinks about it anymore.
So Claire says midazolam will do that. So looks like they give you injections. Well, yeah, I mean, well,
why do you know that, Claire Cat?
maybe she's a healthcare professional or something. But but yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they gave him a sedative. I mean, once they put you on that breathing machine, the respirator, I mean, like they put you out because they have to shove that tube all the way down into your lungs. And like, if you're awake, then you don't want to have, it's like the worst thing you can imagine, having somebody shove a tube into your lungs. Like, you don't want that.
Yeah, like the ventilators, right? Almost everyone who went on them,
yeah,
I think died.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad, man.
Wow, I'm messed up right now, dude. Wow.
Well, how about we talk about our last sponsor real quick? Okay.
All right. Yeah.
You have something from Beamish, right? I know you guys have seen my sign right here. It's pretty freaking sweet. They do amazing work. So they pretty much sell themselves. They're in the heart of Malmo, Minnesota. They're a family-led team, and they're crafting not just metal art, but personalized, timeless masterpieces. Beamish Metalworks, pioneering metal on wood creations. I've seen the combination ones, too. They're so cool. So basically, imagine a piece of art that's not confined by generic signs, but is narrative of your persona, your memories, or your dreams. From the elegance of an office centerpiece to the wild spirit of hunting and fishing scenes, your imagination is the only limit. They're custom made. Can't beat that. So dive into the realm of endless possibilities with Beamish customization, where your space becomes a reflection of you with a distinct vibe that only Beamish Metalworks can offer. They work proudly to support local heroes and events, from veteran fundraisers to law enforcement gatherings, embedding themselves in pillars of support and gratitude. And don't miss out on owning your very own Badlands Media sign. You guys just saw mine. They look cool as shit. And a new Badlands license plate for Beamish Metalworks. So you guys can go there. It's badlandsmedia.tv/metalart. badlandsmedia.tv/metalart, and promo code Badlands will get you free shipping. So that's pretty cool. They got some weight to them. They're pretty heavy duty, so free shipping be pretty sweet with this one.
Hey, you guys, if you could help us out, it would be really, really awesome. We've got like 4,300 people here and only 589 likes, and I know that you like the show because you're still here. I mean, unless you're hate watching, you know, give me a one in the chat if you're hate watching. or give me a two in the chat if you like me, or better yet, don't give me a two, just give me the like, just click that like button, that'll help out.
is it the old give me this one if you hate watching.
Think that's it. Yeah, it's the middle one. Wow, good Lord, I'm so blown away by this. I can't believe this happened.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
Yeah, this is totally nuts.
I have a whole Boeing file that this is going in, because I want to look at this a little more.
Yeah, here, let me send you the link, dude.
Definitely. Yeah, and Spirit Aerosystems, yeah, that's tied to Boeing. I mean,
yep.
Well, I have a clip from this guy, from the CIA agent. He's basically disclosing that, actually, let me just play it. I can't remember now what it was. I clicked a couple things, but
Amjad Fassisi, a program manager contracted at the CIA, talks about how the CIA kept information from Trump. Amjad also discloses that the directors of the CIA would give Trump high-level overviews, but never give him any details. Fassisi also spills that all the intelligence agencies thought that President Trump was a, quote, fucking dumbass and would disclose information, unquote. When asked, how do you keep information from President Trump? Our subject says, quote, don't give it to him.
We kept information from him. Because we knew he'd fucking disclose it.
Wait, say that one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes. He's an idiot.
There are certain people that would give him a high-level overview, but never give it to anybody. Do you know why? It's called leak those details.
Do we have proof for that?
No, but we all believe, because he's the biggest fucking idiot.
So you're saying that we
your agency,
a lot of the agencies, but yes,
kept information away.
Yes, because we knew that it would be careless with it.
Yeah.
Like stored it in a bad shower or laundry. That kind of like it.
So you guys would on purpose keep certain information away from Trump?
He's an idiot. He's an absolute idiot. He's an idiot. He has no idea.
So the generals or like...
Everybody.
Yeah, they would just not share anything with him.
We all did. We all thought he was fucking dumb.
Who's we?
All the intelligence agents.
Do we have proof for that?
No.
I forgot. That's why I clipped it. Yeah, he's saying they're keeping information from, and they're saying why? Oh, because he would just give it to everyone. Do you have proof of that? No. It reminds me of remember when they released all the interview transcripts from the Mueller report, and that every one of them at some point admit that they had no evidence of anything. They had nothing, no reason to be looking into him for Russian ties.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, it's an important distinction to make, you know, because of the work that he does. He is an employee. He's a CIA contractor. So he's an employee of a defense company, and he's not like a clandestine agent. Like, he's not going out and doing spy stuff. He just works for the CIA in the course of his job. And so, you know, anything that he would have known would have been coming from around the water cooler. You know, I mean, like that kind of stuff is that's going to be getting around around the CIA. I mean, people are going to talk, and, you know, I think that regardless of what you do on a day to day basis, if you're employed by the CIA, I think that you will have a at least a base level understanding of their tactics and the way that things work. You know, and if it's coming from upper management that this is our policy in engaging with Trump or engaging with the Trump administration, you know, clearly he's going to have knowledge that way. But, you know, he wasn't like running ops or anything like that.
Right. Yeah. And that is an important distinction. And I guess he was it sounds like he was at Lockheed Martin for the longest.
For a long time.
Yeah. But also Northrop Grumman. And that's what they do. That's the CIA. They kind of like spread like a disease, right? They get people all over the place.
The thing was, he was at the CIA, and then he went to the NSA, and then he went back to the CIA, kind of like Edward Snowden.
Yeah.
So another thing that struck me was when he was talking about how nobody's our friends. You know, and that's so true. You know, I mean, like in the world of spycraft, you work for your agency, you work for your intel agency, and you know, the people who are working in different federal agencies, you're not friends with them because you're loyal to your company, you're loyal to your employer, and the same with other nations. You know, although, you know, like you said, you know, I don't trust Israel, they steal from us, you know, they do. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, you know, go back to Ben Gurion and the atomic bomb. You know, I mean, that's how Israel got the atomic bomb, is they stole the plans from America by infiltrating a variety of atomic labs, and JFK did not want Israel to have the bomb because he didn't want the Middle East to be under the threat of atomic annihilation. And it's so true. You know, I mean, like, we have these allies around the world, but nobody tells each other everything. You know, nobody really trusts anybody else because they're always going to default to who they're originally loyal to. And this is one of the reasons why I am so against the idea of having elected officials that have anything other than a primary allegiance to the United States of America, and why I don't think that former CIA agents should be allowed to be elected into government, because, you know, you look at a number of different former CIA case officers, like Elise Stefanik, she's the Michigan one, and I can't remember her name. But she's currently a congressman in Michigan. She used to be a CIA case officer. And, you know, so her allegiance, even though she's not at the CIA anymore, is still the CIA. It's the same with all the agents that they insert at any federal agency or at, you know, mass media companies like, you know, television and network and stuff like that. I mean, those people are inserts, and there's Alyssa Slotkin. Thank you very much, SATCOM. Yeah, Alyssa Slotkin is her name. And, you know, so they come up at the CIA, and then they're like, okay, now you're going to go to this other agency, or you're going to go into government you're going to be able to then implement our wishes. You're just not an official employee. Another example is Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok, he was always referred to as an FBI agent, but he still held a title at the CIA. He was a covert clandestine officer working at the FBI.
It's so incestuous, all these organizations.
Yep.
But you're right. It's kind of like they come up on the farm, and then they get their duties, and then they go out and be whatever. And was Anderson Cooper, is it only speculated that he was connected to the CIA, or is he literally connected to them?
No, Anderson Cooper definitely did like a CIA summer camp or something like that. He was, you know, I don't know that he was ever like a long-term CIA employee, but I want to say he did like an internship or something like that. And it wouldn't surprise me if, like, you know, they groomed him. Like, because, I mean, you know, he came from the Vanderbilts, so he already came from money. His destiny was probably already plotted out for him. And then, you know, he was trained, and then they immediately sent him out to go into the world of journalism. And that was his assignment. That's what I think. Now, people, you know, always say Tucker wanted to be a CIA agent, but he didn't do what Anderson Cooper did. Like, he didn't actually ever work for the CIA. Like, he applied to be an agent, but he never became one. Now, did he actually become one and they've kept it quiet?
Allegedly, yeah.
Possibly, you know, but, you know, what can we prove? What can we prove? So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's the old adage too, like Tucker right now has been doing a lot of good work. Not everything. Obviously, I've seen things too where I've been like, come on, dude. But I used to not like him at all. Mm-hmm. I used to think, you know, he used to give it to Trump a lot. And then before that, he was very anti 9/11 stuff. And I used to be very leery. He kind of brushed off the Hunter Biden stuff too, because obviously they're friends. But you know what? He's either coming around, which is cool, or if he is some sort of controlled opposition and this is his way to get in our good graces, well, they're giving up ground. Every time they have to do something like that, they all give up immense ground. So I'm for it, man. You know, let them all try to get in our graces. And they give up positions and give up ground every single time, expose themselves more and more. There's not much left to expose. So
no.
It's worked in our favor every time.
I like the direction that Tucker has gone. And, you know, I don't have any reservations about him at this point. I think I look at anybody who's not someone that I know personally with kind of a slanted eye. Like I don't trust anybody 100%, but the work that he's doing is certainly adversarial to the current aims of the CIA and the deep state. And I don't see him as controlled opposition. I see him continuing to expand, you know, the way that he sees the world. And, you know, I mean, he grew up in Washington, D.C. I mean, he was ensconced in that D.C. elite lifestyle. And so, you know, I'm not surprised at the sort of trajectory that he took at his evolution overall. But, you know, I mean, he got to a certain point and it's kind of like, you know, wow, it seems like he realized that his life was a lie and that the way that he was told the world works is not how it goes. So, you know, I would, you know, if he continues to grow, I'll continue to celebrate it.
Yeah, it does. It feels real to me too. So it's pretty cool, man. I am here for it and all the work he's doing, and let him do it. Again, if it winds up being whatever, then we'll just drop him the second he turns, but all the damage will be done. So right now he's clearly doing awesome work. And I love it. And for someone in chat, Kudak says the dude died in March. This is another Boeing whistleblower we're talking about.
60 days later. Yep. This was reported 4 hours ago, guys. Like, this was breaking news while we were on the air. It was just reported. So the first guy who died was, what was his name? Hang on.
Barnett.
Yes. What is it? John Michael Barnett?
Yeah, I think John, yeah.
Yeah, and then the second guy is Joshua Dean. So Barnett worked at Boeing. Dean worked at Spirit. the kind of confluence of Spirit and Boeing together is what was causing all of the problems, because Boeing had its own problems, Spirit had its own problems, but Spirit parts were installed on Boeing planes, and so it was kind of an explosion of dangerous propositions.
Wild, man. Freaking wild times, dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
Prayers to their family.
All right, well, listen, let's go through the rest of these Rumble rants and pilled drops. We've got Philby Me Too says Khazarian Jews from what is now Ukraine. Definitely. And then EO2 Dave says there is no excuse for murder, rape, or kidnapping of innocent people. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want human beings to be murdered. I don't want human beings to be sent into the meat grinder. I want humanity to thrive. And, you know, I constantly am just like, you know, considering in my mind where we could be as a species if we had been allowed to grow, if we had been allowed to evolve, if we had been allowed to create a peaceful society that, you know, or peaceful individual societies that were able to take care of themselves and their people and not be constantly sent into mindless wars against each other. And making decisions or having our elected officials make decisions that would strategically weaken us and keep us subjugated. You know, I mean, like, I think that humanity could be just like, you know, miles away from where we are right now. But
yeah, it's so sad, dude. We can do it. The world could get along. It really could. And honestly, a big part of it is just picking apart all these just losers at the top who are pulling a lot of strings and have us winding us all up and being like, all right, you're supporting Israel, you're supporting Palestine, you're supporting Ukraine, you're supporting Russia, you support no one, everyone go fight each other. And they just got all of us fighting, and honestly, we could all be living together in peace right now if it wasn't for all these crazy psyop conflicts that they put on us at all times.
Amen. G. Henry says the hierarchy of the worldwide church-state cabal was initiated by Nimrod. That defunct institution, then called the Tower of Babel, has morphed into today one world Roman universal church-state. He continues, number two, the church-state's generals malevolently investigate and fund ceaseless warfare to divide and conquer believers of inalienable rights bestowed by a benevolent creator. Evil cannot coexist in love. Amen. Fredo says, what happened with the Jewish tunnels in New York story? Got memory hold pretty quickly, like Maui. Makes you wonder. Yeah, from what I understand, they kicked them out and they filled them out. They filled them in with concrete. So, yeah, that's just allegedly, you know, what I had heard. Obviously, I haven't been to New York and I don't know.
I've heard conflicting things. Some people were trying to make a case that it was made up, but then it did seem kind of real too at the time, but who knows?
What's up, Cliff? Good to see you out there. Freight Awakening says, what happened? Oh, no, sorry. That's the same one. He says, Tomcat, I believe it. I'm not gullible. If you think it's fake, I respect that, but I don't. And he gives a link to a Twitter post. So let me get this pulled up and go ahead and see. Let's see who are, these baby penis vampires. This is actually true. Hold on. Let me, there is a practice in, among certain rabbis where when a boy is circumcised, they will suck the blood from the tip of the penis. Yeah. From what I understand, it doesn't happen with all of them, but there's enough of them that it's a known practice. So I'm going to go ahead and play this and let me make sure that, oh shoot, that's the wrong one. I need to remove it and present share screen. No, here it is. Patriot Storm. Okay, share audio. Make sure this audio works for me, Brad. Tell me you can hear it.
I can't hear anything yet.
You can't hear anything yet?
You might have to add it to the main screen first.
Oh gosh, yeah, duh. Okay, here we go.
Two infant boys have gotten the herpes virus after they got circumcised. Now authorities, including the health department, are investigating this case. Now, they were circumcised by an Orthodox Jewish family. It was part of their tradition. And part of the problem is after the circumcision took place, they applied something known as direct oral suction.
Mitzitza bepet is a practice that Orthodox Jews do when they circumcise baby boys. After they cut off the foreskin, the moil, the circumciser, sucks.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Yeah, I don't want to see it. Real. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's real. It's real. It sounds perverse and it sounds just absolutely barbaric, but I mean, it's absolutely real. 100%. Yeah. Okay. Well, there goes my dinner. All right. And let's see. See you, Silent Whisper. Bye bye. Also, Fredo says, what happened to Trust Kansas and Trust Ray in the drops? Curveballs playing a role. Not a fan of either these days. So I've always said that, there's no context given for this. Is the message to trust explicitly, to just allow or trust that they're going to do the right thing? I mean, for whom? Perhaps it's to trust that they're going to be deep state swamp creatures and they're going to serve their own interests, which in the end means that they're going to expose themselves and expose the whole system along with it.
What is a trust? A trust is a legal arrangement that ensures assets go to specific people.
There we go.
Beneficiaries. I don't know what to make of that one either. That was I never trusted Ray to begin with, so that's always made me 50-50 on what they meant by it. I think Sessions, it came out, right, they were saying that he was the one who started the Epstein stuff when that went down. Horowitz and Huber, I guess they helped Durham a little bit, but that kind of, they were able to thwart that a bit.
Let's see. Texas Jewel says, thank you for all the birthday wishes. Love my Badlands family. Rest in peace. Rest in peace, ESA DMF.
Amen.
Love you, that. Martin.
Yeah.
Fredo says, happy birthday, Jules, and RIP ESA DMF. Great show, guys. Mohap to you as well, sir. Jules says, thank you, Fredo. Fredo says, if you don't hit the thumbs up, then you ain't black. You also think the Obama chef drowned in 8 feet of water and that Building 7 fell because of, you know, the thing, trash fires. Fredo, it was trash fires, you bigot.
You know, I've read the NIST report.
Fredo also says, funny to see how these DOJ, CIA, etc. asshats are so thirsty that they will give everything up for a piece of ass. And to OMG randos, how much did people like Epstein have on these fools? Yeah, you know, I guess maybe since Epstein went down, it's been a little bit more difficult to have their appetites satiated.
100%. I wish I could have been there, a fly on the wall, when James O'Keefe realized that O'Keefe Media Group could be OMG, that he could figure out a way to use OMG for his company, because it's like the perfect acronym.
Yeah. D Patriot 1776. Trey Smith had a great vid out yesterday on Nimrod. Check it out on ScrewTube.
Hey, Trey Smith, is that the dude like who's like in front of his TV and stuff like that a lot?
I don't know.
I feel
who
like
that is.
I used to like that guy. I don't know.
I don't know who he is. I mean, if I did know, then you know, it was before I got banned and I lost all of my subscriptions. I mean, I had 10 plus years of subscriptions on YouTube.
I might be thinking the wrong guy. I just got like a football player when I put it in.
Wow.
So I don't know.
Whiskey Tango 44 says, have you guys raided another chat yet? We should raid DPH as you're wrapping up. No, you know what? We haven't. And I actually forgot. They sent us a note saying that they had created that feature for us. And yes, we should do it. I will raid DPH if you guys hit the like button. You're going to have to hit the like button. Now, I'm actually not logged in, Brad, to the Badlands Rumble. I think that you'll have to do it if you're logged in. Yeah. And then again, thank you to the Patriots over there at Pilled. Thank you to everybody watching over here. You guys are great. Thank you very, very much. And please consider hitting that like button. And Thank you very
much. I don't see any option here. I click it, it says enable slow chat, pop out chat, enable large history.
I think that you might have to do it. Oh no, you know what? There's like code you have to type. It's like you have to do like backslash raid or something like that. Hang on.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to do a search real quick.
I love that idea though. So that would be awesome.
Let's see. Raid.
Raid.
Oh god. And how many times have we said raid in our chat? Like about raiding people.
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, I am
okay.
Yeah, I think I'm signed in as an admin.
How to raid another chat on Rumble. Yeah, I know I got an email address. Here we go. How to use the Rumble raid feature.
Yes, we're learning, guys. We're all learning together right now.
So let's see. How to initiate a raid. So yes, in the chat, you do hashtag raid, and then you put the live stream URL in. So let me, I will grab the DPH link. Let's see, Badlands Media, DPH. Okay, I'm dropping the link to you, Brad. Actually, let me see if I can do.
Boom, I already got it ready to go.
You did? Okay.
Yes, hashtag raid, and I got the thing. Can we leave out with this Trump clip from today's rally?
Do the Trump clip, and then we'll go. It looks like I can raid as well. Yeah, maybe because I'm an admin. All right, go ahead. Let's play the Trump clip.
Love it. Uncle Sam is right here. Look at him. You are perfect. This guy's the best. He's like a perfect Uncle Sam. He goes, we need you. That's right. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Get up here for a second. Look at this guy. Wow. He's in good shape. He's in good shape.
Thank you, Uncle Sam. Look at this guy.
The last one you signed got lost.
I'll sign it. I'll sign it.
He asked me to sign it. I said, I got to make a speech here, Uncle Sam. Good looking Uncle Sam, though, huh? Give me a pen, somebody. Let's get Uncle Sam taken care of. Come on. Give me a pen. I got to get a pen. Let's go. Yeah, good. Just throw it up here. Give me a pen, please. You think Biden can bend down like that? I don't think so. Where's Uncle Sam? Here's your pen back. Thank you. Uncle Sam. You got it, man. Oh, that's nice. Secret Service. Secret Service doesn't love that stuff. You understand? They're not in love. They're looking like, what's he doing? Don't do this. But it's Uncle Sam, right? He looked good to me.
All right, so you're going to have to do the raid. I tried to just do it in the in our chat, and it didn't work for whatever
reason. Yeah, people are saying it's backslash. I just didn't want to do it until we're done with the clip and the show.
That's fine.
But I'm going to do it right now. Thanks, guys, for hanging out.
Appreciate you.
See you again.
Next. Oh, well, real quick, B-Tech Vendetta says, have you ever watched the entire Rogan, Cat Williams, or Shay and Cat interview? Absolute gold disclosures with some weird body language from Gatekeeper Joe through out the 2 hours and 45 minutes. I watched the Shay and Cat one. I didn't watch the Rogan one. But yes, I enjoyed
Sounds
it.
Like it would be cool. Yeah, Cat Williams.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Check it out. Okay, you guys are heading to Devolution Power Hour. Thank you for being here.
Peace. There.
Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.